A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Southeast Hebrew Congregation in Silver Spring, Maryland. Beya Lamed Ches, Beya 38a, pagination 75, starting from about six lines from the bottom by the two dots. Our Gemara is trying to explain the last words of the Mishnah that we had on the previous daf, which told us regarding techumen, boundaries on Yom Tif, that aisha sheshala mechaverto, if a woman borrows ingredients from her neighbor, chaverta, her friend, someone with a different tchum, a different boundary from a different city, so you borrow ingredients from them and you produce a dish or a loaf of bread. So our Mishnah said that that loaf of bread is limited in where you can take it because it's limited to the boundary that I have and it's limited to the boundary that the provider of those ingredients has. And if it turns out that I'm able to go further to the north, but they are not because they came from the south and they're already run out of distance, then the things that they owned when Yom Tif began, has the same tchum as they do, and I can't take it as far as I can go. I can only take it as far as all the ingredients in the product will allow me to take it. We're going to explain this statement a little bit better, but in the process, we're going to get a phenomenal insight into the quality of Talmudic debate. What does it mean to argue about something in the Talmud? The Gemara tells us a story. Kisalik Rabbi Abba, when Rabbi Abba set out to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said the following prayer, which is going to cause us quite a bit of problems. He said, Yehei Ra'ava, may it be Hashem's will, De'ema milsa detiskabel, that I should say something that will be accepted. Now, what was on his mind was that he's the outsider, he's the Babylonian scholar coming to the land of Israel, and first impressions count. And he wants to make sure, in the words of Rashi, shelo evosh, I should not be embarrassed, because it would be a major setback. And therefore, he wants to say something that's noteworthy, intelligent, accepted. But the words that he uses are shatiskabel. It should be accepted. And we'll have to see where that steered him wrong. Kisalik, when he got to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkiche, he found three Tamidei Chachamim that were sitting and learning our Mishnah. Skip two lines. V'yasvi v'ka'amri, and they were saying as follows, Amai, why should the loaf of bread or the dish of our Mishnah be bound by both contributors of ingredients? V'liv til mayim u'melech legabe iso, let the water and the salt be bottled, be nullified into the loaf of bread, and let's be allowed to ignore the tuchum of the provider of those ingredients. If milk falls into a cholent, there's a concept of bittel, that if it's less than 60, we could nullify the milk. So why are we making such a big deal over here? This water, this salt, maybe it should be bottle. Amaluhu Rabba Abba said to them, this is his first statement in Eretz Yisrael, he said like this, listen, if a person has one kaf, one portion of wheat that gets mixed into 10 portions of wheat of his friend, yochal halah v'chadi, do you hold that it's just bottle into the other person's property and the other guy just gets to eat 11 portions and laugh about it? I mean, if he's a contributor, then he owns. And if he owns, then his tchum is active. So Rabbi Abba says, I have a very good explanation for the Mishnah. I don't understand why this is bothering you. He walks in, the Babylonian scholar, and he's got an answer to their problems. Achichu Ali. They laughed at him. It's irrelevant. What are you talking about? Omaluhu, he said to them, he's like really sure of himself. He says, Kilusaihu Shakli. Did I take your tunic away that you're laughing at me? Hadrachichu Ali. So they laughed at him more. Totally irrelevant. They don't understand what he wants. He's a foreigner and he doesn't get the sugya. So to oversimplify the Gemara says that the ownership of the contributor is not an active ownership because it's mamon she'en lo tovin. It's not money that anyone is claiming. To oversimplify it, there are two types of loans. If I loan you my watch, I expect you to give me my watch back. But if I loan you $100, I don't want the same $100 back. It's irrelevant. It's
the
value.
The bill.
The bill, I don't want the bill back. I want value. And the same thing when you loan somebody salt, water, ingredients, spices, I don't want them back. And I have no claim on you on Yom Tov to get them back. On Yom Tov, it's yours. And therefore, the fact that you're an owner doesn't make it into a tchum, because the guys relinquished rights, and they held that Rababa's comments were totally irrelevant. We'll have to come back to Rababa, but drop to the end of the Amud, three lines up. V'tayma mai, what is in fact the reason for our Mishnah? Abaye Omar Gezera Shematasa Isa Beshutfis. It's a Gezera, it's a rabbinic legislation. We're worried that you're going to make a loaf of bread in a partnership where the loaf will in fact be bound by both contributors to whom? Because it's a Shutfis, it's a partnership. Our case is a loan, so you don't really have to worry about the other person's tchum, Abaya holds. But it's a gezeira, what will be if they do it b'shutfis? Rava Amar, Rava says, Tavlin l'taymei avidi, when you contribute spices, it's done for the taste. For taymei l'botel, and a taste, a significant taste, that's not bottles. So even though you're arguing it should be nullified, but tastes are not nullified. You put in garlic, so even though it's more than 60 ratio, it doesn't matter, it's still going to hold. On to tomorrow's daf, Rav Ashi says, there's a workaround. There's a way you can benefit from this thing without violating tchum. You could either eat it here, or you could eat it tomorrow. Whenever you have something that has a permitted workaround, a way to use it in a permitted way, we don't even nullify it in 1,000. We tell you, instead of eating it in prohibition, eat it beheter, eat it in a good way. And therefore this item, we'll tell you, eat it here. What are you taking it to the next town for? So in any case, we have reasons to explain the Mishnah. But what we really want to do is find out over here what Rabbi Abba did that's such a problem over here. I mean, normally the Gemara wouldn't record how a great Talmud Chacham was made fun of. Achichu Ale, they laughed at him. He has a prayer.
I don't even know what they were laughing at.
We don't know what he... What's the story here? So there's an amazing Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer is his last tshuva in Or HaChaim, where the Chassam Sefer says that his tefillah was fundamentally wrong. A person, when he learns Torah, should definitely daven that he should see the truth. And he should arrive at the truth, at the right answer. And that's true for anything that's already been codified. If there's a halacha, you want to make sure that you don't forget the halacha, you don't overlook the halacha. Good. But in cases where the halacha is up for debate, in other words, there's certain fundamentals we got from Moshe Rabbeinu, and throughout the Doros and everything, the question is, but how do I apply those things in our time? So an easy example for us to wrap our heads around would be, so what's the halacha of elevators on Shabbos? So in that case, that's a debate thing. That's not mefurish in Shulchan Aruch. It's not written clearly. So your tefillah is allowed to be that your friends should give you the honor of hearing your arguments. But you have no right to daven that your arguments should be accepted as the law. You can't have that level of negius, of personal ego, wrapped in to a halachic debate that's in the process and is going to follow the majority rule or whatever. You can't have such an agenda that you want, shetis kabel, that my ruling should hopefully be the final ruling. That you have no right to do. You have the right to present, you have the right to be respected. You don't have the right, shetis kabel. And even though he had the right to daven shelo evosh, which was the words of Rashi, that I shouldn't be embarrassed, but he went a step further, and the method for him not to be embarrassed was to be mespalel shetis kabel. And therefore, the Hashgacha orchestrated that he came in and he tried to say something, and they didn't even, his tefillah just, it steered him so wrong because he wanted that the ruling should be like him. Achichu alei, they laughed, it's irrelevant what you're saying. And perhaps that's what he meant. He didn't even understand what he did wrong. He says, Gilusaychu shakli, did I take your tunic? It's an expression of, did I take your thunder? Did I answer the question and I'm stealing your leadership role and your holiness and prestige.
Even further.
I gave an answer and you don't like my answer. And achichu alei, they laughed even more. You're not talking the language of this debate. And that's a story that the Gemara apparently records, even though it's a bit of bizyainus, it's a disgrace, whatever it is, but it's for a lesson. And the Gemara seems to be comfortable telling us lessons. And if it was the wrong tefillah, the wrong attitude, then we need to know that. Mm-hmm. A person to daven that he should go aliba de emes of something that's already emes, that he can do, but that he should project his desire that he wants his view to be codified as emes, that's a level of negius, of personal ego, that's inappropriate, and the Gemara says it was unacceptable. Okay.